Welcome to episode 6 of the SweatNet Strong Women podcast, where we share stories of amazing women living in our communities. I'm your host, Seal, and today we have Kelly Philnow, athlete, pro triathlete, and founder of Philnow Coaching. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me. Such a privilege.
Yeah, well, I'm so excited you're here. We have a lot of things to talk about because there's so much about you that when I got on Instagram, I just kept finding more and more information about you as an athlete, which kind of steers us right into the very first question I have. I know that you found the love for running when you were playing tennis for Davidson College. That was one of the things that I discovered. When did you know that this was more than just part of your training program?
I actually despise running. Growing up, I just saw running as my sports punishment. And it was so bad that every Wednesday at my tennis academy, we had to do a mile time trial. And I would wake up sick to my stomach and I would tell my mom, like, I can't go to tennis. I don't feel good. There's just so much pressure on my twin sister and I to beat all the guys on this mile time trial that I just had this bad taste about running. And so when I was a freshman at Davidson College, we had this cake race and all the freshmen have to run like 1.7 miles and I ended up getting second. So the cross country coach asked me to join the team and I just like thought she was crazy. I'm like, no, I play tennis. I don't run. And then before practice one day, one of my teammates actually asked my sister and I to go on a run on the trail before practice. And so we went on like a 15 or 20 minute run and actually loved it. I just loved talking to her. And so that was the first time that the process started, you know, percolating in my mind, like, oh my gosh, so like maybe I actually enjoy this sport. And then after sophomore year, I ended up asking the cross country coach if I could join the team.
Which obviously they didn't turn you down on that. I think that's amazing. It's funny because even for me, like running now, like I just started and by no means like what I consider myself a runner. But there are parts about it that I love. And so it's interesting when I've started to talk to people about that, everybody kind of, I think at some point, I feel like everybody finds that, you know, place for it. But you took this to a whole nother level. What would you say, because of all the, you know, the things that you've done in your athletic career with tennis and with running, what drives you? What is that? Is there a desire to win or is it something more for you? Like, what is that?
Well, I'm an extremely driven person and it's not winning. It's really just trying to reach my ultimate full potential. And I guess always, you know, I always want to be learning and growing and just never staying stagnant. And I remember I was in St. Croix, I was competing in a 70.3 and at mile 12 of the bike, I got to first amateur position. And then the rest of the race, I just kind of coasted and I had the title, but then I was so disappointed in myself when I finished because I felt like I wasn't giving it my best. I just coasted through. And then about a month later, I competed in Austria in an Ironman and I hit an American amateur record at the time. But then the next day I just felt so empty. I was like, ooh, there's like more in me, but the title literally just meant nothing to me. And, you know, so after those two instances, I just realized like, it's not about winning. It's not about, you know, reaching even just, you know, getting to a certain, you know, 70.3 world championship or championship event. There's gotta be so much more in you than just that title. And, you know, that really just changed my mindset. And, you know, I realized like, no, I need to reach my ultimate potential, whatever that may be. And, you know, that might take failing, that might take, you know, turning professional in the sport so I could challenge myself against the best in the world and, you know, not coasting anymore. And so I feel like for me, I always want to be positioning myself in that way. How am I going to grow? And so that's what drives me. And that's what gets me out of bed every day. And, you know, really that's something that has motivated me through COVID because there's no races right now. And if it was all about the winning, then I would be wasting a lot of these moments, a lot of these days.
Yeah, no, there's so much truth in that. And I think it's really interesting to hear this from you, from all the fact, you know, the titles and the things that you've done in your career as an athlete. And that even that, because sometimes I feel like, you know, it's always when you reach that benchmark that that's like, I'll get there and like, I'm good. You know, I don't need to do anything else. And I think hearing you say that you have that desire to always push for more or stretch yourself, like that's awesome. And that's such an example for all of us. Like there's never an arrival. It's just you just continually pushing and don't settle. So yeah. That's awesome.
And that's why it's so much about that journey. And it's not that endpoint, it's not that destination. And even just like having a lot of athletes and runners that listen to this podcast, it's like they had the specific race, like they're training for the Boston Marathon in April, it was canceled. And then they're training for it in September and it was canceled again. But you could just be totally dejected by, you know, the fact that this race isn't happening anymore. And it's okay to experience those feelings and be disappointed, but it has to be so much more than just that destination. And you have to love what you do every day. And, you know, you're learning in that journey instead of just reaching that endpoint, because you reach the endpoint and then you're like, now what? So I think that's, you know, an important lesson through these times right now is, you know, finding joy in the process and not just focusing on that performance, but changing your mindset to, okay, let me have these process oriented goals instead of just focusing on, you know, that game day.
Yeah, no, it's well said. And I totally agree with you, because I feel like to me, it's always the journey. And I was talking to somebody about that before. I was like, it's just a process. Like you celebrate at the end, but it's the process that's so great.
Right.
So that's where you get the most out of it. So talking about the fact that you have received awards, is there one in your career, like from an athletic standpoint, that you like, I want to say like is really special to you or really has some meaning?
Yeah, I would say the one that means the most is being in my College Hall of Fame. And that was just something, I mean, being a Davidson student athlete, I learned so much and it changed me as a person and really taught me, you know, how to work hard. And then I was balancing two sports and just really rigorous academics. And so that for sure, you know, is second to none, I would say.
Yeah, well, that's like such an achievement and very few people get to say that and have that as part of their life. So I think that's pretty amazing. And that's what I was telling you before. Like I was reading all about you and I was like, oh my gosh, like the list of awards could just keep going. So it's just such an incredible accomplishment. When for you, did you know that you wanted to be like, you've been an athlete. When did you know you wanted to be a coach or you wanted to switch gears and focus on that?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was actually in an article my freshman year at Davidson, and one of the questions is, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, I wanted to be a college tennis coach. And then I guess for some reason, like the mentality at Davidson, like I thought that I had to climb a corporate ladder. And so my mindset totally changed like sophomore, junior year. And so that's what I thought I was going to do. I thought I'd be like in a suit all day, like, you know, this is what I do now, but that's like where I was just influenced by kind of the people around me. And then because I transitioned to running, I had a fifth year of eligibility. So I was able to run at Duke for my last season of cross country and my first season of track. And so that forever changed the trajectory of my life because, you know, then I started running and I, you know, became like a runner. And then after that, just opened my eyes to, you know, the potential of like doing what I love again. And instead of doing things that I feel like I should do, but just, you know, following my passion and, you know, ultimately that created the opportunity to turn just my passion into my career. But it was not something that I had allowed myself to think about was, you know, a potential, you know, when I was young or in college.
And how, and so what were the coaches like for you? Do you have certain coaches that stick out or certain ones that you, you know, really impacted you along the way?
Yeah, actually one of my college or one of my high school tennis coaches had such a huge influence on me. I feel like I was afraid of success and often like feared success, and I didn't have any self-efficacy. I would always downplay myself. And if someone would compliment me, I would really just, you know, yeah, degrade myself and didn't have any confidence. And so he really showed me like you can't get anywhere in life if you don't believe in yourself. And so that was the first time that I started, you know, really just believing myself and my potential and realizing like you have to believe in yourself if you want to go anywhere in life. And so he just really had that huge impact in, you know, my mentality. And, you know, as a tennis player and Ironman athlete, like you have to really focus on staying present, and, you know, you're going to have many, many dark holes. You're going to be, you know, down a lot in a tennis match, but like, how can I, just stay in that present moment and come back, you know, one point, one game at a time. And if you don't believe in yourself, you can easily just throw in the towel and just be done. But, you know, those sports are just so mental. And, you know, for me, like he really positioned me, he was a phenomenal physical coach, but he showed me that there's so much more to coaching than just getting, you know, an athlete to their peak performance. It's way beyond that. And that's the mindset. And that's, yeah, forever. I'm grateful for him. But I mean, I've had so many great coaches along the way. Most of the time my dad was coaching me growing up. So that was fun.
It was really a family affair because of your twin sister too.
Yes. And older brother. So all of us. Yeah.
That's crazy and awesome at the same time. Cause that means you guys were all physically active all the time is my guess.
Oh yeah. We would go to gymnastics meets, the soccer practice, the softball games. It was crazy. Always a sport.
Always something happening.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like as far as, so now that, you know, cause you look back and on the coaching styles and the different people, like you said, you probably had some that were very dialed in to performance. And then you have this other one that kind of was well-rounded. How has that helped you with coaching other people?
Yeah. And I think for me, I've just learned from, I mean, all my coaches have brought like a very unique aspect to their coaching. And one thing that I've learned is it is so important to coach the athlete. Like there's not a one size fits all formula to coaching. And I like to take more of that holistic approach, like get to know the athlete. And, you know, I'm actually big on knowing my athlete's Enneagram number, which is like personality, character qualities, and their motivation behind why they do what they do. And so then I can kind of understand, you know, why they're performing a certain way, why they might be not adhering to a workout, or, you know, how they're doing with like a canceled race, how that's going to affect them. So it's more, you know, having that full understanding, because every athlete can handle so much different kind of intensity or volume, or some people need like all the mental training as well, because they don't have that self-efficacy, whereas others, you have to, you know, rein in their where they are, because it might be the other extreme. So it's all about kind of getting to know the athlete and meeting them where they are, and then adjusting the training accordingly. And like looking, you have to look at their past too, and then just be very proactive with setting specific goals that, you know, are out there, but also attainable for each individual.
And as far as your athletes that like the current, you know, people that you're training now, what is like the typical age range for you? Have they been athletes before and they're doing something later in life? Or is it somebody that's never done anything? All of a sudden they're like, this is like something that's been on their bucket list. Like what's that range?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say the average age is maybe 45. But a lot of, we actually have some, like I have an athlete in Minnesota who's 73 and he started triathlon in his 60s and, you know, made the world championships in his 70s. So it's crazy to start, you know, but it's amazing. And then we have, you know, other high school athletes. So it is a wide range. And some of them, a lot of the triathletes and runners that we coach, you know, never had even participated in organized athletics growing up. And then others might be baseball, soccer, college athletes, and then are missing that competition and, you know, want to push themselves in some other way. So it is a wide variety for sure.
So moving on to a different kind of part of this is to talk about your sister, that you have a twin and you guys have, you coach together now, and then you played sports as well together growing up.
Yeah.
So is that hard for both of you, or is it hard for you to have, like, was it ever pressure to have an identity to be you, or how did you handle that?
It was extremely difficult, and I mean, we're best friends, but society has constantly compared us to each other through our whole life. And it was definitely a struggle at times. I mean, my sister actually wanted to go to a separate college, but I convinced her to stay with me. And then, you know, we haven't really
separated. Were y'all roommates?
We were roommates. And then finally she went abroad junior year. So we split up and we were going to be roommates senior year, but our friends forced us not to be. So they mandated that we are not living together. It's hilarious. But yeah, there was a lot of society pressure in comparison, and that actually has helped both of us so much long-term, because it showed us, like, we have to just stay on our own lane, and I have to be the best version of who I am, and she has to be the best version of who she is. And, you know, especially nowadays with, like, so much social media and everything, like, for me, like, I don't really care what other people think. And I think I've learned that from, you know, being a twin, being identical twin, and having, you know, some of the comments that we've received over the years, you know, it just can be debilitating for us. But what we've been able to do is use that to kind of grow and realize, like, okay, you're gifted. We have our individual talents and strengths and weaknesses. And, instead of, you know, always trying to compare each other to each other, it's like, just be you, be the best version, and we can help each other, you know, in certain, like, a lot of my weaknesses are her strengths. So she's taught me so much, and I don't think that I would be the athlete that I am today if it wasn't for her, because she's been the driving force in helping me, you know, to work hard and go that extra mile, because without, like, we would always be training together, practicing together, and, you know, trying to get each other to that next level. So, yeah, we have so much gratitude for having that identical twin, but it's not without society pressure as well.
And you really answered the question I was going to ask you, but just maybe you want to take it a step further. I feel like that just from what you said, that you guys, I mean, you kind of feed off each other's energy. There's, like, because you were saying, you know, when you help each other go higher or raise the bar, that's what I'm taking from the conversation, that that's kind of how you guys work.
Absolutely. And I seriously do not think I would be half the athlete I am today if it wasn't for her. And, you know, if she was out summer training doing sprints or doing suicides on the tennis court, like, you better believe I was doing one more than she was. She would get so frustrated because I would not leave the tennis court until I won the last point. And sometimes we'd be there forever. And then she would just tank that last point so we could leave. But it was just this constant, like, okay, Megan, you're going out for 2 mile run right now. I'm going to go out for 2.25.
Always that little bit more.
Always that little bit more. And then, you know, it's just like, it really does make a huge difference when you are going the extra mile from a young age. Like, you accumulate gains, and just doing the little things, like, creates healthy long-term, you know, success. And we're creating healthy habits with each other, because, you know, when I'm not motivated to go do something, well, she's encouraging me to go do it. And so we're feeding off each other. And without, you know, having her, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would definitely not be where I am today.
I love that. I think it's important to have people like that in your life, but it's really special when it's a sibling, you know, and especially the fact that y'all are twins, because you could be very competitive and it could be very ugly and it could be the complete opposite. And choosing the way you all have, you know, grown together and support one another. That really is cool. Okay, so now on to a fun question. I pretty much have asked this with everybody. What is your jam? So this means do you have a favorite article of clothing that you have to wear when you train? Is there a song that you have to have on your playlist? Like, what is it?
So my favorite clothing, it's Lulu. Have you heard of the Lululemon Align pants? They're just insanely comfortable. They're so comfortable. I wear those all the time. Yeah. Love those. And then my Brooks Levitate shoes. They're just so comfortable. I have a neutral gait and they work awesome. And I would say ever since it was freshman year, we used to play Rocky. Like, so the Rocky soundtrack back in the day when you like listen to, you know, DVD soundtracks, all that good stuff. And so that one, and then We Are the Champions, like always got me really motivated before a race. So right, kind of like right before I'm racing, you know, those are the two jams that I get me motivated and ready for some action.
There you go. Well, I've heard somebody else have mentioned Rocky as well. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Absolutely. Like, we all grew up like that. Like,
it's hilarious.
Everybody wants to watch the montage and like, yes, absolutely. Best movie for motivation. So as we kind of come to a close, one of the things that I think is really important is this is an opportunity and a platform. And is there anything else on your heart that you would want to share with people that are listening, women that are listening?
Yeah. I mean, I would say one thing that I would want to share is just, you know, we just have today and time is short and life is short. And, I had a teammate who was tragically, you know, no longer here with me. And I just learned so much from her life and the fragility of, you know, human life, that if you have something that you know, you want to go after, like, go for it. With great risk comes great reward. And I feel like, you know, we can learn so much from when we fall and when we fail. And, you know, so often as females, we fear that failure and we're not taking that next step. But, you know, right now, like, I actually tore my ACL 7 months ago, and it was, you know, one of the biggest setbacks in my athletic career. But what I've learned is I can rise so much stronger from this setback. And, you know, I could have easily just moped around every day. I can't race, I can't compete, I can't swim, bike, or run for so long. But, you know, what I did was from the beginning, I let myself, you know, be upset and frustrated and angry for the circumstance and how it happened for 48 hours. So I let myself feel and sulk. And then I just got to work focusing on what I could do every day. And one of the most important things that I've done is just changing my mindset from seeing this as this is happening for me, not to me. And so often, you know, if just that little mindset change, how is this happening for you instead of to you, can really, you know, change that mindset and change our lens, and we can grow. And so we're all going through, you know, challenging times with COVID, but, you know, through these times, look at this as an opportunity. How can we grow as humans through the trials? And yeah, so changing that lens is how we experience that the most powerful growth.
Thank you so much for that. I think that's something that's one thing that I think that we can all share as far as just mindset in general, and the way you put it was perfect. So I really appreciate you sharing that. I think that's a big thing right now. So I really appreciate you being on this show. And I really right now would like for you to share, where can we find you? How can we get in touch with you?
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for doing this podcast. It's so wonderful. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kelly Filnow, F-I-L-L-N-O-W, and then on Instagram as well, at Filnow Coaching. And then that's my Facebook as well. So shoot me a message, and I'd love to, talk to you.
That's awesome. Okay, well, thank you all for joining us and tuning in to the SweatNet Strong Women podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like it, share it. You can find more information on SweatNet at sweatnet.com. You can also go to the Instagram at SweatNetCLT. As far as me, you can follow me personally on Instagram at ItSealSmart. And I am hosting the Be Amazing Weekend that's going to be here in Charlotte, October 16th and 17th. It's an all-women's weekend. It's all about health and wellness and celebration. If you want to learn more about the event, go to BeAmazingWeekend.com. And you can also follow Be Amazing Weekend on the Facebook and on Instagram. So thank you again. Tune in next week for our next episode of the SweatNet Strong Women podcast.